What's up, Eastlake Church? I want to start off by welcoming everybody joining us all around the world online, everybody to all of our other Eastlake locations and as well as network churches. My name is Scott Williams, and I bring you greetings from the great state of Oklahoma, the city of Oklahoma City, home of the 2019 NBA champions, Oklahoma City. You laughing awful hard at that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a joke. You must be a Lakers fan, right? Never mind. Anyway, we're getting started off on the wrong foot. But true story, home of the 2019 NBA champions. We're believing it in faith, as well as home of the 2019 college football champions, Oklahoma Sooners. We're excited about that. So now you guys are with me. It's just anybody but Alabama, right? Anybody but Alabama. So anyway, man, I'm excited to be here. I guess earlier you guys raised your hands, so many of you guys have been here when I've spoken before. Man, love Eastlake Church. I travel lots of places, but man, there's no place I love better than to come to San Diego. I mean, it's awesome here. The weather's between 75 and 84. No bugs. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have that in Oklahoma. There's bugs all the time, but it's good to be here. I love being here. Again, a little bit about me. I'm married. I have one wife. She's awesome. She's good. And her name is LaKendria, and she's white. You know she ain't white with a name LaKendria. You know what I'm saying? Anytime a name begins with La, Sha, Ba, Da, or Ta, you know they black, right? Awesome. That's her. Like, man, I love her to death. We have two sons. Our oldest son is Scott Wesley Williams Jr. We call him Wesley. And our youngest son is Jaden Scott Williams. Yeah, I'm kind of like George Foreman, Scott Williams in all my kids' names. So one is a sophomore in college at OU. And the other one's a sophomore in high school. And matter of fact, they just won the state championship in football, back-to-back state championship. So yeah, you can give a hand clap for that. Big year for Oklahoma sports. High school championship, college championship, NBA championship. Remember, you heard it here first. So it's good. I travel a lot, which means like I'm always in airplanes, always in airports, so I'm always on the go. And man, traveling is fun, but you know, I can kind of deal with that, like the airport process sometimes. Sometimes it just gets a little bit annoying. And when I live in Oklahoma, like I love to grab an Uber a lot of times on the way to the airport or coming home, or sometimes I'll have my wife pick me up. But one thing about Uber, I can work when I'm in an Uber. I can send emails when I'm in an Uber. So Uber's always like, it's cool. It's a good thing. And I remember one night I was coming back. My flight was going to be delayed. And so I called my wife. I was supposed to arrive anywhere between like midnight and like 12:30. I was trying to decide if I was going to get an Uber, have her come pick me up from the airport. Because late at night in Oklahoma City, it may take an Uber like 30 minutes to get you. You know what I'm saying? It's because like normally there's Ubers, but when it's late at night, they're not around at Oklahoma City Airport. And so I remember calling her and saying, hey, I got a delay, but it looks like I'm going to arrive about 12:30. When I finally landed, it was closer to 1 o'clock in the morning. 1 o'clock in the morning. And so I went ahead. As soon as we landed, I requested the Uber, like right when we were on the, you know, runway or whatever, just getting in. And so, and I remember calling my wife and saying, like, babe, I don't need a ride anymore. And she's like, how are you getting home? I was like, oh, don't worry about it. I got it. She's like, Scott, it's late at night. How are you getting home? I was like, Jesus is taking me home. She's like, Scott, I don't have time to be playing. It's after 1 o'clock in the morning. How are you getting home? I said, Jesus. True story. That was my Uber. Jesus. And look at that. Jesus had a 4.8. I should have known this wasn't the real King Jesus, right? Because we know he would have had a 5.8. You know what I'm saying? He got to have 5 stars, right? And so I'm pretty excited. Like, you know, I've been rolling with Jesus for a number of years, but I ain't never actually, like, rode with Jesus, right? And so I remember I get out there. I'm going to the Uber, and I get out there. And then I had to look at it again. Matter of fact, put that back up. I'm thinking, like, what kind of car would Jesus drive? Look at the kind of car this Jesus was driving. It was a 4Runner. It was a 4Runner. We know Jesus wouldn't drive a 4Runner, right? What would Jesus drive? He would drive a Honda. Because all the disciples were on what? One Accord. I'm just saying, like, so anyway, so I go, some of you guys are going to get that here in a little bit. And so I go out to the car, and so we get to the car, I'm excited, I got my bag, getting right with Jesus, right? And so I'm here, open the door, I was like, Jesus? He's like, oh no, Jesus. I'm like, oh, Jesus, it's all good. So anyway, I get, and check this out. If Jesus were to drive an Uber, this is what it would look like. Like, man, he had like rope lights all in the car. It was all lit up. And the whole back seat had like potato chips and all these things. Like, it was like a cascading thing of potato chips on the backside of the passenger seat. And then he had like all these different kinds of bottled water. It wasn't just like some cheap bottled water. He had like Fiji and Voss. And so he had the bottled water. And then the lights was going on, the whole mood. And then in the middle, right there in the middle, in the little console area in the middle. Like, he had a tip jar. But the tip jar was like a unique tip jar because you could put your hand in it, but you couldn't go too far because you couldn't get your hand out of it. It had like a thing that would catch your hand. In other words, you can drop a tip in, but don't try to take a brother's money, right? So anyway, so I'm rolling with Jesus. We're on our way home. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I live in the suburbs, so it's about like a 20, 30-minute ride. And so we're rolling, and, you know, the mood lights had went off, and then we're getting a little close to my house, and all of a sudden, he turned the mood lights back on. And I'm like, oh, why he's got the mood light? Maybe it's because we're getting closer to my house. No, it wasn't the mood lights. It was some lights behind us. We were getting pulled over. That's right. And real quick, all of our locations, everybody online, everybody here, how many of you guys ever been pulled over in an Uber? That's right, nobody but me. You know what I'm saying? So check this out. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. You got a brown brother in the front. You got this black brother in the back, and we got candy and rope lights. So the officer, he comes up. Excuse me, can I have your license and registration, please? And I was like, oh, man, what's going on? He's like, can I have your license and registration? He's like, oh, no hablo inglés. I'm like, officer, he does speak English. He's been talking English to me for the last 20 minutes. Man, you better talk to him. I ain't got time to be getting shot up in here. You tripping. Hands up, don't shoot. What is wrong? No, officer, seriously. And I said, no, seriously, man. Officer, like, man, he's a great man of God. This is a really nice guy. He's got a family. Like, he drives Uber as his part-time job, and he works at an insurance company. Like, God, I mean, officer, I really think that you just need to give him a break. Just show him a little favor. And he's like, looks back at me, looks at him, looks back at me, looks at him. He does this, and he's like, I never do this, because late at night, normally people are coming home from nightclubs and are drinking and driving, but I'm not even going to run your registration. As a matter of fact, you guys just have a good night. And so so Jesus rolls his window back. I was like, Jesus, do you know Jesus? He's like, oh, yeah, I know Jesus. I said, because if you didn't know Jesus, what you need to understand just happened right there. That's what's called the favor of God. The favor of God is on your life. That's why you didn't get a ticket. And a matter of fact, that's what we're going to talk about today, is we're going to talk about the favor of God. Because in this Christmas season, sometimes we can kind of lose sight of what this season is all about. I mean, everybody's getting ready, like we're getting ready. And matter of fact, a lot of times in the Christmas season with your decorations, you got like the mangers all set out. You got the nativity scene. As a matter of fact, by a show of hands, how many of you guys have a nativity scene set up at your house? How many guys? Okay, many of you guys do. And I just want to tell you straight up, we have a nativity scene. Our nativity scene, it's a black nativity scene. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's black in the whole nativity scene. I'm just saying. But last year we were getting ready to go get the Christmas decorations, and we have our Christmas decorations in the storage building. It's just across the street from our neighborhood. And so I was going to get them, and we was getting the Christmas decorations out, and I went to go get the whole nativity scene, but somehow between the year before and us taking them back, man, we done lost Jesus. Like, we got everybody else in the nativity scene except for Jesus. And so you can't set the nativity scene out anymore if you don't have Jesus. And that's a little bit of a concern for many of you. We're going into this Christmas season and you've lost Jesus. You're going into this Christmas season and you're getting ready to buy gifts and presents for friends and for family. And many of you, you're going into debt buying presents, and you're all stressed out in the season that you're celebrating with everybody else. But you guess what? You lost sight of the reason for the season. You lost sight of Jesus. And so what I want to do is look at the events that led up to the nativity scene. Because we see the nativity scene, we see how everything is lined out, but what is the process that it took in order to get there? And I'm gonna go ahead and set the stage for the time that we're gonna look at in Scripture. We're gonna look at Luke 1, between verse 26 to 38. And some of the key players we're going to look at, you had Mary, and scholars will tell us that Mary was between 14 and 16 years old at this time. So around 15 years old. And Joseph, she was engaged to be married to Joseph, who was about 30. And I know what some of you guys are thinking right now, like, man, Joseph was tripping. He was robbing the cradle. What is he doing? And that's just kind of was a sign of the times. That was very how everything was. As a matter of fact, like, their engagement was equivalent to a marriage today. As a matter of fact, it would have to be a formal process to end this engagement. So you had Mary and Joseph, and they were from a very, very small town called Nazareth. Everybody say small town. You can do better than that. Everybody say small town. So Mary and Joseph from a very, very small town in Nazareth. And Mary had an older cousin named Elizabeth. And she was married to Zechariah, and they were from a very, very large city called Jerusalem. Everybody say large city. So you had one couple that was young from a small town. You had another couple that was old from a large city. And Elizabeth was said to be barren, said that she couldn't have children. So you had these two different situations. And then also in the story, there was the angel named Gabriel. And God would send Gabriel when he had a word, when he had a message that he wanted to send. So if you look at the events when Gabriel shows up in Daniel, when he first showed up, he's always like, "What's up?" And then he shares this word. And oftentimes, that's how a word will come to you. It's like out of the blue, like, man, God, was that you? Like, am I really supposed to do this? And am I really supposed to leave my job? And am I really supposed to restore this relationship? Am I really supposed to forgive them after all that they've done to me? And that's how God will show up, through the angel Gabriel. So what I want to do is I want to read the scripture in its entirety, and we'll come back and we'll unpack it a few verses at a time. Is it okay we just preach the Bible today? Okay, this is not a library. Is it okay that we just preach the Bible today? Y'all louder than that at a Lakers game. I'm just saying, is it okay we just preach the Bible today? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Here's what the scripture says. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found what? You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and will have the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he'll be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. The title of today's message is Walk in the Fog. As a matter of fact, I want you to turn around to your neighbor right now and say, "Walk in the fog." I want you to turn around to your other neighbor, the one that was your second choice. Turn around to yours and say, "Walk in the fog." For those of you that are couples or that you're married and you turned around to someone other than your spouse, we have marriage counseling available at the end of the service today. You have to walk in the fog. What we're talking about is walking in the favor of God. And so if you don't remember anything, remember these three words because it's going to spell fog. The first thing, if you're taking notes, you can write this one down. The first thing that you need to do if you want to walk in the favor of God is you need to focus your eyes. Everybody say focus. Everybody say focus. Verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." So it talks about greetings, favored woman. In other words, I want you to focus on what I'm about to share with you. Like, greetings, favored woman. You got to focus your eyes on God. And oftentimes we go through our day and we go through our life and we're not focusing on God. I mean, it kind of reminds me of this. How many of you guys have, either you went and bought a new car, or maybe ladies, you bought a new handbag or fellas a pair of shoes, and like, man, you thought nobody had those shoes or nobody had that car or nobody had that haircut. And then once you get it or once you buy it, every single stoplight you pull up, you see that same car. Every time you look like, dude, like, has everybody got the same Prius? Like, I thought I was the only one. You know what I'm saying? Same color and everything. But here's the deal. It's not like those cars or that handbag or that hairstyle just started to show up. What happened? You begin to focus your eyes. It's amazing what happens when you begin to focus your eyes on the things of Jesus. Because like you just put yourself in this position to where you can begin to see God's favor and blessing everywhere. There's two things I like to do every morning. Two things I like to say to God. Just kind of put myself in this position where I just look up and I just simply say, thank you, Jesus. Show me your favor today. Thank you, Jesus. Show me your favor today. Because when you do that, it's amazing what starts to happen. You begin to see God's favor everywhere when you ask for him to show it to you. Because sometimes you walk around like, oh man, it's just a story of my life. But ask God, man, show me your favor. You're going to see it in situations. You're going to see it when you're at Starbucks. You're going to see it when you're driving down the street. You're going to see it in that moment, that intimate moment that you have with your child, that just the sweetest little innocent moment. You're going to start to see God's favor everywhere. I mean, that's how I position my life. I remember last year, it was February 17th. I remember the date. My wife and I, we were on our way last February to my son's wrestling tournament. It's in a town called Lawton. And you guys are in a military town here. Lawton is a military community. And so we're on our way there to a wrestling tournament. It's about an hour and a half away. And as we're on our way, I just kind of set the stage. So we're driving on the highway. The speed limit, I believe, is 75. And so we're going 75 going this way, right? And coming towards us on the highway, if the speed limit is 75 and everybody else is going 75, this guy had to be going 85, 95. He was rolling. So we're going this way. He's going this way, coming this way on the other side of the median. And as we're going, it kind of happened all like in slow motion and really fast at the same time, kind of like the Matrix, you know what I'm saying? And so we're going and we see the guy, he starts to slide into the median. He slides into the median and the car flips up. And I'm sitting there as my wife and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, is this how it's about to end? Because the car, you see the car in the air, it flips up and the car ends up landing in the lane on the other side of us. But in the little cable barrier, there's these metal poles that hold the cable barrier. And those things begin to fly. And one of them hit the front of my car, boom. And then the other one hit the hood, like right in front of me, just right here, boom. And then the other one hit the top corner over here on my wife's side of the car, boom. And then one hit the back of the car, boom. And it just all happened really, really quick. And I remember getting out the car and going, trying to look for the guy that flipped over. And I go to his car and like airbags deployed everywhere. And he was nowhere to be found. I'm like, man, where's dude at? Like, and so I'm looking. And he's like across the street talking to another guy in a car. I guess he somehow bumped his car. Brother smoking a cigarette, just chilling. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dude. He's like, man, you kind of jacked up my car. He's like, no, man, I was over here. You on that side? I'm like, what? No, bro. Like, you see my car, bro? Like, so anyway, so begin to have a conversation. This is what the car looked like. Like, it was like, so that was like where it hit on my side. The top left picture, the top right is where it hit on my wife's side. And it was, I mean, it was just crazy. And so in that moment, it was just like, man, God, like, I appreciate, like, it was clearly the hand of God that saved us. And then I didn't realize until a little bit later on that day, I was sharing on, like, Instagram and Periscope about, hey, I was in this accident, this is what happened. And somebody said, Pastor Scott, do you realize what you shared on IG this morning? And I didn't remember it, but I simply shared this message. It was simply, thank you, Jesus. When we're talking about in advance thanking God for all that he has done, in advance thanking God for all that he will do, when you begin to put yourself in this position of worship and focusing your eyes, you'll begin to see things everywhere. And it's kind of like the same thing in our relationships. Focus your eyes on the good thing about your spouse or your significant other. Focus your eyes on the good things about your child and quit always pointing out the negative ones. As a matter of fact, I think that's why we see so many divorces, because people are always focused on the negative things. The grass is always greener over there. Water your own grass. Fertilize your grass. As a matter of fact, do you know the statistics for couples that get married, their marriage ends in divorce? Anybody know what they are? What percent? 50%. Flip a coin. How about for Christian couples? That's a question. 50, exactly, 50%. So it's no different for Christian couples and non-Christian couples. But the Southern Baptist Convention did some further research, and what they found out was this, is that for couples that go to church together regularly and pray together daily, they have less than a 1% chance of getting a divorce. Less than 1%. But what's the kicker? Pray together daily. I mean, as a pastor, I'm getting like, we don't do it. We don't take the time. And when you do take the time, what you're doing every single day, you're turning things over to God. Every single day, okay, God, we're coming to you with these problems, with these challenges, with these things that we want to see, with this vision for the future, and we're turning it over to God. Because many of you are walking around just holding on to your problems with clenched fists, holding on to the past with clenched fists. God can't put nothing in your hands if they're closed. But guess what? When you open them up and say, God, we're giving it to you every single day. It's like, okay, I got a blessing for you. I like to say it this way. Those that will allow, seriously, like, put God's, everything about God, if you will focus on it, things will begin to shift. Those that put everything they do into God's hands will find God's hand in everything that they do. Let me say that again. For those that put everything that they do into God's hands will find God's hand in everything that they do. You got to focus your eyes. Second thing, you're taking notes, you write this one down, is this, is you need to open your heart. Everyone say open. Open. Everyone say open. Open. Verse 29. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have what? You have found favor with God. This is key. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? Because I am a virgin. I mean, a more accurate translation, Mary was like, what? What do you mean I'm pregnant? Man, y'all better quit tripping. Who is this dude, Gabe? Hey, y'all better get y'all's homeboy Gabe over here talking about I'm pregnant. Don't he know Joseph and his homeboy's gonna be tripping? They're gonna be posting all on Facebook and all on Instagram talking about I'm pregnant. And my girlfriend's, I didn't told him I was a virgin. I'm a virgin. What is he talking about? This dude just showed up talking, I'm about to be pregnant with the Son of the Most High. He must be the Most High. He must be smoking some kind of weed. I don't know what's wrong with this dude. I ain't pregnant. You better get him. Here's the deal. I'm saved, but I got hands. I'll lay some hands on me. I will cut you, Gabe. It went something like that. And Gabriel simply said,
God's plan. God's plan. I hold back sometimes, I won't. Yeah. I feel good sometimes, I don't.
I mean, that's like, for the kids, that ain't really how the scripture went. You know what I'm saying? That's the new NIV version. It's the Negro International version. Some of y'all are like, huh, can I laugh at that?
But what I'm saying is he said, look, this isn't about you. This is about what are the plans that God has for you.
And some of you guys are sitting there and you're wondering, like, am I going to really open my heart to the things of God? Am I going to open my heart to the things that God has for me? Because the key to the scripture, he says, you will conceive and give birth. In other words, God's going to put something in you. Sir, God's put some dreams inside of you. God's put some visions inside of you. God's put some goals inside of you. You will conceive and give birth. It's going to take some time. The birthing process takes some time. But on the other side of it, what it is amazing. It's beautiful. It's a miracle. And so some of you guys, you're in the process. But you got to be willing to trust the process. I'm telling you, God won't give nothing to you that he won't see through you. God's got something for you. But are you going to be willing to open your heart?
I mean, Mary, she's this 15-year-old girl. This doesn't sound cool. Like, what? I mean, the next time you think you had a bad day, try being Mary. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think your day is bad. But that's the thing. Like, you got to understand, like, open your heart to the things of God. Believe it. Conceive it. And receive it. Some of you couples, as we're talking about conceiving, you've been trying to get pregnant week after week, month after month, and many of you year after year, but yet no pregnancy. Trust the process. Trust God's plan. Some of you got that wayward son or daughter that's run from God, and you think there's no way they can ever come back. Trust the process. Some of you are in this Christmas season, everybody's buying presents, and things are hard. Trust the process. Some of you see everybody talking about all this joy, but you're depressed, and you keep hearing these voices that tell you all these negative things and all these negative events and all these negative stories about you. You got to trust the process. Because I'm telling you, when you begin to do that, it doesn't matter who you are. That's what I love about this text, because it's reminding us it doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old or whether you're from a small town or a big city. It doesn't matter your situation. But what happens is if you focus your eyes on God, open your heart to the things of God, you'll begin to see blessing and breakthrough. The last thing, if you're taking notes, I feel like the most important, the G, is go in faith. Everybody say go. Everybody say go. Verse 35. The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and be called the Son of God." This is key. "What's more, your relative has become pregnant in her old age, and people used to say she was barren." So in other words, when you begin to focus your eyes and open your heart, not only are you going to experience blessing and breakthrough, but your cousins and your friends and your auntie and them and other people around you are going to experience that same blessing, because people used to say, "Oh, there's no way you can amount to anything," or "There's no way your marriage is going to make it," or "There's no way that you can do this, there's no way that you can do that, there's no way you can finish school, you were born on the wrong side of the tracks." That's not your story. But if you're willing to go in faith, guess what? It doesn't matter what people say. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. If you take that word, impossible, and you simply give it a little bit of space, it says, "I'm possible." Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing means that stage 4 cancer that your family member has. Nothing means the diagnosis that you have. Nothing means that addiction that you have. Nothing means that pornography addiction. You were just looking at porn this morning before you came to church. For nothing is impossible with God. The key is with God. Mary's response: "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. You know, it's football season, and they say football is a game of inches. I like to say that life is a game of inches. And many of you guys are just a few inches away for seeing all that God has for your life. It reminds me of you. How many of you guys, when you go to a store and they have like the motion-activated door? When you go to that motion-activated door, what happens? When you step up to the door, what happens? The door opens, right? So the door opens, but you have to be in the motion. But if you're on the outside of the motion sensor, what's happening? The door's not opening. And so many of you are sitting here, you're wondering why the door and that blessing and breakthrough that you've been praying for, that you've been looking for, that you've been aching for, is because you're outside of God's motion. And if you will just make a few clicks and turns and you will step a few inches over here, guess what's going to happen? You're going to begin to get into God's motion. You're going to make some decisions. You're going to cut some relationships. You're going to make some decisions. You're going to do some things different with your finances. You're going to make some decisions. You're going to start to seek God first. You're going to start to pray to God. You're going to start focusing your eyes on Jesus. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to get in God's motion and some doors are going to begin to open. But that's what you got to be willing to do. It's motion activated. Coming here and sitting in your comfortable Christian chairs and going about your life and doing the same old thing, it's not enough, ma'am. You know what you need to do. Many of you, God's whispering to you right now. You know the situation. It's not a surprise to God. But when you do, I'm telling you, you're going to be like, man, I see it now. The doors are beginning to open. But don't get it twisted. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get projectiles of life that are going to start coming at you. But what it means is it doesn't matter because we're focusing our eyes on Jesus. We're opening our hearts to the things of Jesus. And the last thing, we're going in faith. Can you put that image back up of my car? When the officer came in and was talking to me about the wreck, he said, hey, Mr. Williams, here's what I need you to know. He said, we see these accidents a lot where, you know, projectiles are flying on the road, and normally it's they're catastrophic. He said, but here's what I want you to think about. When you look at your car, the picture on the front, top left, he said, where it hit right there, where the metal hit your car right there and peeled your hood back like a can opener, if it would have went 6 inches higher, that's right in the middle of your chest, you would have been dead. On the other side, where it hit the corner of your car and crushed a little bit of the glass, and a little bit of the glass was in your wife's lap, if that would have went 6 inches lower, she would have been dead. So I'm thinking about life really is a game of inches, a game of decisions. And I'm just here to tell you that, man, God has something special for you. He just wants you to open your hands. He's got something amazing he wants to put inside your hands. But you got to be willing to do your part. And you can't listen to the naysayers. Many of you guys, you're walking around and you give the devil way too much credit. Anything happen, like, did you get a flat tire? Oh, man, the devil got me a flat. Or your Wi-Fi's not working. Devil trying to attack my Wi-Fi. No. I'm telling you, man, if you always give the enemy the credit, you're going to find yourself in a situation that you can't edit. And you can't focus on what he's saying. Because the only thing he can do is whisper some negativity in your ear. But when you begin to focus on what Jesus says and not listen to the naysayers, because as you start to step into God's motion and doors start to open, the haters and the naysayers are going to come out. And many of you are going to be people that are close to you. And they're going to tell you what you can't do and this and that, but you can't focus on that. You got to focus on the things of God because the haters are going to be out there. Naysayers are going to be out there. I mean, the naysayers, the same one that'll see Jesus walking on water saying he's just walking on water because he can't swim. You can't worry about them. But what God says is that blessing and breakthrough is available. And that nothing, yes, nothing is impossible with God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for every single person that's under the sound of my voice and all across this room and every single person online right now. If you'd be honest enough to say, you know what, I haven't really been focusing my eyes on Jesus, and God, I want you to help me with that in this season and for my years to come. And you say, well, I really want to walk in the fog. I want to walk in the favor of God. All across this room, if that's your prayer before God, just raise your hand. I just want to pray over you saying, I want to walk in the favor of God. God, just I really want to focus my eyes on you. God, I pray for every single hand that's lifted up now, every single person that's on Facebook that's raising their hand, every single person that's watching online. God, I pray for them right now. God, I pray that they can't get through this week without you revealing yourself to them, God. And as they begin to make steps and then begin to get in your motion, God, I pray that the doors begin to open, God. God, thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. Jesus, we thank you. We love you. With heads still bowed and eyes still closed, you can put your hands down now, real quick. Most important part of the entire sermon is that I talk about life being a game of inches. And here's what breaks my heart in a room this size and this many people online is that there's people that under my voice right now that if life were to end today, they wouldn't guarantee they'd spend eternity in heaven because they're going to miss heaven by 12 inches. They have a head knowledge. Oh, yeah, I know it. But they don't have a heart acceptance. But here in a few moments, you have the opportunity to make that decision. So if you're here today and say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of kicking the tires. I'm sick and tired of trying to play this church game. Today's the day that I want to truly surrender my life to Jesus. If you're here today and say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to wash my sins away. I want you to make me brand new. If that's your prayer, raise your hand high right now. Okay, hands going up. All over the room. You can keep them up. Here's what we're going to do, East Lake Churches. We're going to pray this prayer in faith out loud together as a church family for those that are making the decision to surrender their life to Jesus. And you're not going to pray it alone. We're going to pray it out loud as an East Lake family. So I want every single person and online to repeat this prayer after me saying, and repeat it loudly. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins. Today I choose to make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Change me and make me brand new. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, East Lake Church. Let's give it up for changed lives. Come on now. Come on, give a hand clap. You can do better than that. You clap louder than that at a Lakers game. Come on now. Come on now. You guys are awesome. God bless you guys.